So we've been in the book of Romans. We've been in chapter 12 together. That's a half clap. Let's give the Lord a hand. How about that? That's how you get out of an awkward applause right there. So we've been in the 12th chapter of the book of Romans all these last couple months. And I'm excited to continue with part 8 of our series that we've called Outdo for this reason. You know, there is a scripture planted right in the middle and kind of the theme of the entire chapter of Romans chapter 12 that teaches us to outdo one another in honor and in love. And this morning we're going to focus on two simple words. I have two simple points, two words that I believe will speak clearly into each of our hearts found in verse 16 that we just heard read to us. And those two words are harmony and humility. Now, I want you to get those in your mind from the very beginning of this morning because I think God has a place in his kingdom for every one of us when it comes to our harmony and our humility. So if you don't mind, let's stand in the honor of the reading of God's word one more time. Let's listen to verse 16 read once more. Romans chapter 12, verse 16. The English Standard Version says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Let me read it to you in the Amplified Bible. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, conceited, self-important, exclusive, but associate with humble people, those with a realistic self-view. Do not overestimate yourself. The Common English Bible says it like this. Consider everyone as equal and do not think that you're better than anyone else. Instead, associate with people who have no status. Don't think that you're so smart. The Holman Christian Standard Bible says it like this. Be in agreement with one another. Do not be proud. Instead, associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own estimation. And lastly, let me read the Message paraphrase of the Bible. It says, get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. No matter what translation, no matter who is reading it, the fact is it is your love letter written to your people, and we hear it read from you today. But Lord, it's not just to listen to. This Bible, this love letter from the creator of the universe himself is meant to be understood, to be studied, and to be applied to our lives. So my prayer is that these wouldn't be my words over these next few moments, but they would be yours, that you would speak through your servant, that you would speak clearly from your word. And God, help us not to just leave it there. Help us to hear it with our heart and to apply it with our lives. We love you, Jesus, for it's in your name we pray. All God's people said, amen. You could be seated. Thank you, friends. So here's a question I want to ask as we kind of get this thing started. And let me say a huge thank you to every one of our students who have worked so hard to be a part of today's service. And thank you to our worship pastor, Don, for allowing them the opportunity to lead you. I know you've enjoyed it as much as I have. But I want to ask today, whether it's a teenager, whether it's an adult, whether it's a child in the service, whether it's the oldest senior adult in the room today, my simple question for every one of us, no matter our age, race, gender, background, whatever the demographics may separate us, the question is for all of us today. Are you a part of the team? Are you a part of the team? When we were in Lookout Mountain, Georgia for our summer camp experience just a little over a month ago, one of our young ladies kept saying this phrase, teamwork makes the dream work. Have you heard this? Have you heard this? You know what I'm talking about. And I really have to understand, you know, I play a part of this team, and most of you look at me and say, oh, there's Pastor Justin. He's wearing a sport coat today. Wow, he's real fancy. I got to be the senior pastor this week. It's a very, very heavy job. But you look at me and you think, oh, that's what the church is all about. No, no, no. I just play a part in this body. And by the way, can I just remind you that standing on this stage and leading you today is the same part of the body as you serving behind the scenes, as you writing cards, as you being the prayer warrior. Every one of us have a spiritual gift if we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Every one of us are a part of the body. So my question is, do we really believe teamwork makes the dream work? God's dream to shape and change and redeem this world. Are we a part of the team? Let me get a couple of my friends to illustrate. Watch this.
Hi, I'm Johnny.
And I'm Chachi.
We're Get In Here Ministries. And you know, Chachi and I, we couldn't be more excited about the idea of teamwork.
And today we're going to take the idea of teamwork and paint you a beautiful picture through the medium of music. Take it away, Johnny.
Okay.
Boom.
You know, hearing Johnny sing by himself is rather putrid and boring. It's amazing what happens when you add others to the mix. Check this out.
You know, through modern technology, we're even able to do this. I'll tell you, though, about teamwork. You know, it's less about me and more about we. Let me kick a harmony.
Hi there. We all know the old saying that there's no I in team, but there's also no selfish hypocrisy in team either. Let me throw a dato in the mix.
Dato, dato, dato.
You know, when people say no man is an island, I used to think, of course no man is a piece of land surrounded by a body of water. But then I realized what they mean. I think I get it.
Somebody once said that none of us is as smart as all of us. And I don't really know what that means, but I know I like it. Now watch me break out something special.
You know, I think we've made some pretty good points about teamwork and the value therein of it.
And if teamwork were a person, I'd love them as all get out.
All right, I think we made some headway on that.
I love it.
Pretty good.
Man, that's awesome. I love it.
You know what I'm saying?
I love it.
You guys are good.
Who's ready to sing with me? So I told you there's two words I want us to focus on, and maybe you grabbed a handout in your worship guide this morning. I'd love for you to take notes. Here's the first word, harmony. We're going to talk about unity for just a moment, but I want us to understand what unity looks like at its best. Let me define the word harmony for you. Harmony means literally agreement, congruency, or coordination. And if you're like me, especially after watching that video, you're probably thinking it's a musical term. It really means synchronization. We have phones in our pockets and iPads at our houses, and you probably know more than ever before what it means to sync your device with something in your house or to sync your pictures to be able to download them from your device. But that's where that word sync come from, synchronization. As a matter of fact, let's try an experience. I'm going to call this the harmony experience. Can I borrow you, Pastor Don? Come on up here. Come on up here. Let's try this. This is the harmony experience. So half the room, this is my half. How y'all doing? You want this half? I already asked them how they're doing. Well, they're not very noisy. Okay, go ahead. Take that half. Yeah, yeah. How y'all doing? Okay, see, I got the right half. There you go. Okay. Okay, okay, okay. We're in. All right. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I would like this side of the room to sing with me, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. You remember that scripture? Can we throw it on the screen? This is Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Oh, I'm sorry, maybe I didn't put it up there. So, it's in the Bible, okay? So, you got me? It really is, I promise. You can look it up. So, we're going to say rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Can we practice together really quick? Here we go, like this. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. One more time. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. See, got choir members. What you gonna do over there, brother?
Well, we're gonna do something a little different. We're gonna do rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Sing that with me. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. One more time. Say that with me. Rejoice. There we go. I think we got it. We're ready.
What if we tried to mix it together?
That would be crazy.
You want me to start?
Please do.
Pastor's out of town. We can do crazy stuff.
We can do whatever we want.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
You ready? Let's do this. I want to hear y'all now. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, keep singing with me. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. All together. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Last time. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. We should end like, rejoice. That's good. I heard you trying to do that. Thank you. I appreciate that. Give yourselves a hand. That was good. We missed it. Praise the Lord. We didn't even practice that with the church. We're going to do verse 2 tonight if you come at the 5 o'clock business meeting. That's how we're starting a business meeting. That's what I'm saying. So I want you to think. That sounded really good, by the way, and hopefully you understand we all play a different part. But when you put it together, as our pastor and I were talking before he left the country and kind of planning out this morning's sermon, he said this to me. He said, harmony is different parts working together to create something bigger and better than any single part. So whether you're talking musically, or you're talking life itself, you're talking the church, you're talking your family, I think this applies to every aspect, but especially to God's body, the church. We are better together. We are better together. All the parts working together. That's why we call it the body of Christ. So let me think about unity another step. Unity is the body. You've probably heard that phrase many, many years. The body of Christ is a common metaphor for the church, God's people. That's us. Why is that? I read something recently called The Church in God's Program by Robert Saucy. He gives 10 reasons. I think there's 10. Yeah, 10 reasons why these facts are true that make us the body of Christ, why we are called the body of Christ. Let me just read them to you real quick. Just a reminder of why you're a part of the body. Number one, members of the body of Christ are joined to Christ in salvation. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 tell us about that. Number two, members of the body of Christ follow Christ as their head. That's what Ephesians 1, 22 through 23 says. We're the body, he's the head. Number three, members of the body of Christ are the physical representation of Christ in this world. And this is where we sometimes forget. The church is the organism through which Christ manifests his life to our world today. Or how about this one? Next, members of the body of Christ are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of Christ. Romans 8, 9 tells us about that. Number five, members of the body of Christ possess a diversity of gifts suited to particular functions. We see that all throughout Scripture in the New Testament, especially in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 31. Let me read you verse 12, 1 Corinthians 12. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. Next, members of the body of Christ share a common bond with all other Christians, regardless of background, race, or ministry. Listen to this scripture. There should be no division in the body, but its parts should have equal concern for each other. That's 1 Corinthians 12, 25. Number seven, members of the body of Christ are secure in their salvation. Please don't miss that, because this is what we stand on today. We are secure in our salvation. For a Christian to lose his salvation, God would have to perform amputation on the body of Christ. Does that make sense? If you are in Christ, you have a part to play, and if we could lose our salvation, then God would have to perform amputation on his body. It makes no sense. Number eight, members of the body of Christ partake in Christ's death and resurrection. Colossians 2:12 reminds us of that. Nine, members of the body of Christ share Christ's inheritance, Romans 8, 17. And then lastly, members of the body of Christ, you and I, receive the gift of Christ's righteousness. We've never earned it. We've never deserved it. But we receive it because of Christ, Romans 5, 17 tells us. So if you are ever finding yourself like me, feeling like you're just not playing your part in the body of Christ, you're just too insignificant, whatever spiritual gifts you have, And can I remind you today, spiritual gifts come with what? Spiritual gifts come with work gloves. In other words, you call yourself a Christian. You say, according to the Bible, if you're a Christian, you have a spiritual gift. How are you using that? In the body of Christ, how are you using that in a world that needs to know and see Jesus Christ? We are the body of Christ. But thirdly, when we understand unity, it really is all about love. We can call ourselves a church. We can call ourselves a body of Christ, representing Christ to the world. But if we do it without love, something's missing. Something just does not add up. Let's be honest. What about those people you have a hard time getting along with? What about that stinky pinky toe in the body of Christ that you just wish you didn't have to deal with? People who are different from you that you just don't harmonize well with. During World War II, Hitler commanded all religious groups to unite so that he could control them all. Among the brethren assemblies, half complied and half, of course, refused. Those who went along with it usually had a lot easier time during then. Those who did not faced harsh persecution. In almost every family of those who resisted, someone died in a concentration camp. Now, fast forward, when the war was over, feelings of bitterness ran deep between these groups, and there was much tension, as you can imagine, kind of like sometimes we see in churches today. Finally, they decided on a situation that had to be healed. So the leaders from each group met together at a quiet retreat, and for several days, each person spent time in prayer, examining his own heart in light of Christ's commands, and then they came together. Francis Schaeffer, who told of the incident, asked a friend who was there, "What did you do then?" Listen to his reply. "We were just one," he replied. As they confessed their hostility and their bitterness to God and yielded to his control, the Holy Spirit created a spirit of unity among them. Love filled their hearts and dissolved their hatred. When love prevails among believers, I strongly believe, especially in times of strong disagreement, it presents to the world an indisputable mark of the true follower of Jesus Christ. That is love. So what would I say to that? If you've got somebody you know is a Christian, but you just do not harmonize well with, that other body part that you just clash with, which sometimes that's because you guys are a lot alike, kind of like me and my mom, just a lot alike, and that's why we clashed growing up, I challenge you to pray for that person. Earnestly seek God for that person. Read the scripture. See the example lived out by Christ when it came to unity. And then ask God to give you the supernatural power to do that in your own heart. Don't you pray for that person to be unified. No, no, no. You pray for you. Let God take care of the rest. As a matter of fact, that was Jesus' prayer for his people before he left this world. You remember that? John chapter 17, specifically in verse 21. Listen to what he prayed. That they, talking about us, his people, his body, may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I'm in you, that they may also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So when you and I, let's just be completely real today, when you and I are not gelling with those in the body of God, when you and I don't harmonize well with each other, when our body of Christ looks dismembered, I think that actually causes the world not to be able to see Jesus. That distracts the world from understanding the love of God. And likewise, unity of all believers makes lost people want to know and understand that Jesus really is alive, that God really is a God of love. And then, of course, the opposite of true is true. When God's people don't love each other, what does that tell the world? Which leads me to this fact. Disunity is dangerous. Disunity is dangerous. What causes disunity? I think the same thing that causes all sin, that causes all, you know, transgressions, missing the mark, our lives when we just don't gel with the Lord. I think it all leads back to this: selfishness, pride. As a matter of fact, in the summer of 1986, I read a story where two ships collided in the Black Sea off the coast of Russia. Hundreds of passengers died as they were hurled into the icy waters below. News of the disaster was further darkened when the investigation revealed the cause of the accident. It wasn't a technological malfunction, the radar didn't malfunction, or even the thick fog they were riding through. The cause was human stubbornness. Each captain was aware of the other ship's presence nearby, but both of them could have steered clear, but according to news reports, neither captain wanted to give way to the other. Each was too proud to yield first, and by the time they came to their senses, it was too late. We need harmony. No matter how young, no matter how old, no matter how experienced in the church, no matter how new to the faith, and everywhere in between, every one of us are called to be a part of the body of Christ if we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We need unity. Can I say it again and you hear it with fresh ears this morning? We need unity, harmony, synchronization. Get that pride out of the way, so that we can experience what it means to be the body of Christ in harmony. Second word is this, humility. This one's a little tough. Maybe that one sounded tough, but all I could think about was being haughty makes you naughty. Now, I know you want to laugh because I did too when I wrote it down a couple weeks back. Now, we all know our pastor loves Christmas. He loves Santa and all that stuff. By the way, 156 days until Christmas. I have fulfilled my role as the pastor for this weekend. Let's go have some Krispy Kremes. But when I hear the word haughty, let's just be honest, the first word that comes to my mind is naughty, and it really makes sense. Let me define it for you. The word haughty means to be proud, to be self-important, to be snooty, to be stuck up, to be conceited. And the word naughty literally means to be disobedient, to be wicked, to be wayward, like the prodigal son. I love this. Let me read Romans 12, 16 again in the Common English Bible. Don't think of yourselves better than anyone else. Instead, associate with people who have no status. Can I just let you in on a little truth this morning? And this honestly hurts my feelings. I wish I had my steel toe boots because this hurts. You are no better than anyone else, period. We think that sometimes. We are so good, and I'm talking to myself, if nobody else, at judging somebody based on their appearance or based on how they handle themselves or what they have or what I have in comparison. We are no better than anyone else because the fact is we were all sinners in need of a Savior. Can I remind you of Romans 3:10? None is righteous, no, not one. Who's righteous? Raise your hand if you're that's none of you. Don't even raise your hand. None is righteous, no, not one. That's why the righteousness of Christ had to come. That's why we needed Jesus to get into heaven, because heaven is where God is, and God is holy, and nothing unholy can be in heaven. That's us. Until the righteousness of Christ met our hearts and made us righteous. No one is better than anyone else because of that fact. And here's the second thing I learned from this scripture about humility. I believe it teaches us that we need to hang with the lowly to live more slowly. Now follow me here and let me explain that. Can we all agree that life is passing us all by way too fast? Can you agree with that? Life is passing us by. Everybody but the children in the room would probably understand that more than anybody. Families are way too busy. Families are way too stressed out nowadays. We have too many commitments. There's not enough time. I heard on the radio just the other day driving home that they did research. I don't know if it was Harvard or somebody that's worth listening to did some research. And they said that according to all the healthy habits that a family should develop, you need 40 hours a day. It's not possible. It is not possible for us to do everything that would be healthy in our lives and in our families because we only are given 24 hours a day. We need to slow down. We need to take a breath. We need to learn to say no to the good things To be able to say yes to the great things. That's for somebody today. I know it. Slow down. And really, it's a struggle of pride. If you struggle with pride, being haughty, then the prescription is right here in Romans 12:16. Associate, in other words, hang out with, be around, plant yourself near the lowly or the humble. You become who you spend time with. Would you agree with that? You think about your best friends and how you finish each other's sentences the more you spend time with each other. You say things that you heard your parents say growing up because you spent lots of time with them. You become who you spend the most time with. And if no one is righteous but Jesus made time for us, wow, maybe that should inspire the lives that we live. You remember Romans chapter 5, verse 8? God shows his love for us while we were still what? Sinners. Christ did what? Died for us. While we were still sinners, he met us where we were. So when you find yourself in a place where you think, oh, I don't know if I can spend time with that person, maybe God is calling you to just try it. Or you find yourself spending time with those who just aren't humble and really don't challenge you to be humble. Maybe God is calling you to take the place of Christ and spend time with the lowly, with the humble. I think that'll humble you. That'll humble me. And we were never worthy on our own, but Christ died for us. None of us is more or less worthy than you think you are. So spend time with all people. Be Jesus to somebody, even if it humbles you. Or maybe especially if it humbles you. So we've got harmony. We've got humility. Let me help us make some headway as we finish this morning. The word headway means to move forward, to make progress, especially when circumstances make this slow or difficult. So my prayer is, if you struggle with harmony, if you struggle with humility in your life, that God would allow you to make headway today, and I believe that's in three ways. And I'll close with this. Number one, maybe you need to outdo with God's word. Maybe you could memorize Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Have you caught on to Romans chapter 12? I think we've really fallen in love with this chapter in this book of the Bible because it's all written in simple, easy to remember statements. Has anybody else realized that? I mean, the size of an index card can fit every sentence from Romans chapter 12, and you just put them all over your house. That's a great way to memorize God's word. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Easy to remember. Or maybe today you need to outdo your scripture memorization and memorize the entire chapter of Romans chapter 12 up to this point, and as we finish it out in the next couple weeks. Secondly, maybe today some of us need to outdo with harmony. Let's just be honest and say you're singing a part that is way off and you're not fitting in. Or you feel like your part is so insignificant that you don't need to fit in. And maybe God is reminding you today that if you're a part of the body of Christ, you have a part to play. No matter how small, how behind the scenes, how seemingly insignificant it may be, the body of Christ is everyone coming together in harmony. That is the picture of God's love to the world who is watching and waiting to know it. So maybe for you, if harmony is where you need to work on, if God is working on your heart today when it comes to harmony, my question for you is, will you make that relationship right, whoever that person is? Will you offer that forgiveness that you've been holding back for way too long? Will you bring harmony back to God's family, however that looks like in your situation today? Or maybe, like we talked about at the beginning of the service, maybe you need to play your part in God's team, in God's family, finally. Maybe you want to show up on Wednesday night or on Sunday afternoon for our meeting with the First Impressions team as we launch this ministry to make people feel welcome and to be the hands and feet of Christ. I just don't know what my role is here at this church. Attend that meeting, find out. Let's see if we can find ways to outdo one another as we show hospitality through the First Impressions team. or however else you serve in this place, and throughout this county, throughout this state, throughout this nation, and really throughout this world. And last but not least, maybe you need to outdo with humility. Maybe today you would say, Justin, that is me. I struggle with humility. I realize that every time I struggle with this sin or every time I run into this temptation, it is because of the pride that is alive and well in my heart. I would say that's probably every one of us if we're honest. Pride is alive and well. And we need humility. So maybe you need to ask yourself or answer this question for yourself this morning. Will you hang out with someone that you've thought of as less than yourself? Will you hang out with the lowly? Don't be haughty. Let's stay off that naughty list. You know what I mean? Maybe for some of us, it's grabbing those God loves you cards in the foyer on your way out and leaving it with someone who you would think feels unloved. We know that God loves everyone, but maybe they are seemingly unloved and they need to experience God's love in a very fresh and tangible way today. Grab one of those cards. Grab a stack of those cards. Hand them out to the homeless man, to a disgruntled family member, to that coworker that you never seem to get along with, to that waitress, to that cashier, whoever that is. May God lay somebody on your heart and some act of kindness on your mind to share his love today. I think ultimately, as I finish, every one of us needs harmony. Every one of us needs humility. And I want to join with my brothers and sisters and do something in a unique way as we end the service today. Worship team's going to come back up. Thank you again, worship team, for leading us so well. And I want to end in a way that might seem different for you and might be uncomfortable for you, and that's fine. You can stay in your seat. But if we really believe that harmony and humility, that unity and associating with the lowly is really our call as God's people, as a matter of fact, we just read it, or maybe that's you. You just need more harmony in your family, more harmony in your Sunday school class, more harmony with those coworkers, more harmony in your life in general. Or you just need an extra dose this week of humility. I'm going to ask you to take a stance of humility with me. And we're going to end this service as the worship band sings over us. I just want you to join me at the altar. If you're physically able to just take a knee in humility before the Lord, and as we close out this time, just join me at the altar and ask the Lord to develop that harmony in your heart and in your life and in those around you, to bring back that humility that he showed for you and he's calling us to show for other people. And now it's one thing to get on your knees and to try your hardest to pray. It's another thing to believe in faith that God gives us harmony, that God gives us humility, and that we can make headway through these things. So I'm asking you to meet me at the altar, or maybe stay at your seat, or maybe stand in worship and let this be your prayer time. With all the faith you have, let's pray for harmony. Let's pray for humility. Let's pray God takes us places we could never think or imagine, as Ephesians reminds us. Would you stand with me? Let me pray. And if you feel led, join me at the altar. Father, I thank you for your love for us, how you model harmony. Even from the very beginning of creation, when you made us in your image, to be your image bearers, you said, let us make man in our image. You are the definition of harmony. From the very beginning of creation, our triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you are unity. And you're calling your church to a place of unity today. So, Father, for some of us today, our struggle with pride is real. The struggle is real, and pride is all up in our business. Lord, would you humble us today? Whatever means necessary, we ask that you would allow us to meet you in a humble place, that you would draw us closer to you, that we may look more like your Son, Jesus, to a world who needs to understand what harmony and what humility looks like. So, Father, this is my prayer as I join my brothers and sisters at this altar, and we ask you to meet us here and to go with us in harmony and humility. Speak through these words. Speak to our hearts. We pray to you now. In Jesus' name.